Father, it is a blessing that we have this opportunity to praise your holy name. God, you've blessed us with this building. You blessed us with family, and we've gathered here just to hear from you. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be poured out and that you would be our teacher once again, Lord. Show us your truth. And the greatest prayer we can utter today is, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Lord, empty us of ourselves, that you may fill us afresh with more of you. So bless this service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning. Listen, why don't you turn to your neighbor and say something. Such a blessing to be here this morning with you. We are going to continue our study in the Gospel of Mark, and so please turn your Bibles to chapter 4, and if by any chance you do not have a Bible this morning, please raise your hand. We would love to get one to you so you can follow along, and if by any chance you do not have your own personal Bible, please, please take that one with you. We would love to give you that as a gift. It's always awesome to have people have the Word of God available to them at any time when they need it. And so Mark chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verse 35, and we're going to actually close the chapter today. While you're going or while you're turning your Bible there, I want to encourage us to do a couple of things, and that is we have a Mexico mission trip planned on September 7th through the 10th. We're going to be going to Carmen, Sudan. And we're going to be, Lord willing, but again, things are subject to change because of the storm that's getting ready to hit along the coast. And so the original plan is for us to go and to help build on one of the church properties there. And of course, after this, we're going to be flexible, whatever God would want us to do. But I want to encourage you, whether it's a construction trip or just another form of a mission trip that we plan for, please don't ever be afraid to take a step of faith and go. You may say, I don't have the ability to build anything. Listen, that is okay. There are other ways that you could be used by the Lord. And so a big part of us going is to be an encouragement to those brothers and sisters that are serving the Lord there in Mexico. And so being able to pray for them, have a conversation with them in English, right? There's some workers out there that, you know, like myself, didn't learn the language, and so it was always nice to come across somebody who spoke my kind of language, English, right? And so, again, it's just an opportunity for us to be a part of that. So pray, and would love for you to sign up at the Connection Center for us to be able to go. And again, based upon the circumstances, I know that those brothers and sisters would love the help and the support as much as we can give. The other thing, men in the house, let me hear you. Okay, that was a little bit better than first service. I had some of the women clapping, and we got another one here. Men, we have our conference coming up September 22nd and 23rd. Registration starts today, and I want to just challenge you with this. As we have been praying over the theme, we have been, as the body of Christ, have been blessed. God has set us up for victory. Would you agree?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, he's given us everything we need. Through Jesus, he's opened up the door for us to receive this amazing gift of everlasting life. Through Jesus, a door has been opened for us to be forgiven of all of our sins and to have a personal relationship with God. And so God has opened up the door, but he never forces anybody to walk through it. And my desire is that we as men would just long and yearn and have a hunger to enter in. Because there's so many blessings when you enter in and take your walk serious with the Lord that God will do in and through your life. So men, that is the theme this year for our conference, is to enter in. God's opened up the door, and we want to walk through it together and learn the beauty of what it is to walk and be a man of God. So I'm going to challenge you first, men, sign up, if you don't sign up by next week, then I will talk to your wives. And I know they will sign you up. They will bring you here. And I think that's why some of the ladies were clapping. Okay? And so with that, let's go ahead and stand. We stand out of reverence for the Word of God. I want to read the passage, pray one more time, and then we're going to jump right in. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And I want to read chapter 5. Then they came to the other side of the sea, and I want to pray now. Father, thank you so much again for blessing us with this time this morning. Lord, your name is great. Not only have we worshiped you in song, but we want to worship you as we study your word. And it is your word that transforms us. It is your word in such a time as this in our world today, in the midst of darkness, that can bring peace. It is your word today that will give us an opportunity to know your very heart. And I ask right now that you would block any hindrances, that you would block any distractions, that you would help us set aside any hurts and pains and frustrations that are in our heart. May we be able to set them aside so that we can hear from you. What amazes me the most, God, you know every heart that is in this place right now. And you know exactly what each one of us need. And some of us right now are facing our own storms. And I pray that today's word would be an encouragement to us all. So, Father, come and speak to us. Once again, pour out your spirit that we may receive and be empowered to live for you today. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Please be seated. So last week we had the blessing of going over the parable of the mustard seed. And one of the blessings that I pray we walked away with is the picture of God's kingdom, how it may have started off small but will eventually outgrow all other nations. And as God's kingdom grows, we also witness the bird that hung out in the branches of this tree, this plant, that it was an opportunity for us to see that as God's kingdom grows today, Satan's presence will be there. And his whole purpose is to do whatever he can to keep God's kingdom from growing. And of course, as we walked through that, we also went through an end times chart. And I want to just take a moment to correct a statement that I made. And I mentioned that after Jesus' second coming, I said that Satan would be bound in the lake of fire, and I want to correct this. I want us to understand and know he will first be thrown into the bottomless pit, and that is in Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 and 3. And I made the mistake of coupling it right there after his second coming. And so the truth is he'll be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He will then be released after that to battle against God once again. And it would be at that last time that he will then be defeated forever. And that's when he'll be thrown in the lake of fire. So I wanted to make sure that I corrected that for you guys. And my apologies. But I also want us to be able to see this because, again, the challenge for us in walking away from that study was no matter how difficult things get. Listen, we know who wins in the end. God has already said he gets the W, okay? And one of the things that we need to realize is that when we go through life, and even if there's evil presence, no matter how much Satan may try to keep God's kingdom from growing, he is going to fail and fail miserably. And as we go through those difficulties, my challenge was to keep living for Jesus. No matter how hard it is, we got to fall back on what we know, and Jesus is alive. He wasn't defeated on the cross. That was the demonstration of victory, because he is now, at the present time, sitting at the right hand of God. And so the beauty that we have is living for Jesus, knowing that he is faithful, and then set our eyes and our hearts and our minds on things above. In other words, stay true to the fact that we have already won the battle. Okay, we need to remember that. I don't know what you like doing when you have me time, okay? You guys know what me time is? It's just me and don't bother me, right? That kind of time. And if you ask me what I do, I will tell you, I'll be very transparent. I watch the old Cosby show. I have all 8 series, and I'll start it all over again. Okay? But another one of my favorite movies is the movie, it's based upon a true story. I watched it as I was a kid come to life, but it's the movie Miracle. Okay? True story of a man who took a bunch of college students and actually beat the Russian team who had been playing probably longer than the ages of those hockey players. And so it's an amazing movie, and I love watching it. And even, I lived it, right? 1980, I watched it live. But every time I watch that movie, I still act like I'm there. I know who wins, but it's like, I just get so excited at the end. I even got a little tear every time. It's just powerful. And can I remind you, when you're going through difficulties, set your mind on the W. Set your mind on those things that are going to help you not lose sight of the victory that you have. And this is, I pray, again, the challenge that we walked away with. And as we pick up in verse 35, it says here, on the same day as Jesus, again, from the beginning of chapter 4, started the day off by teaching at the Sea of Galilee, as the crowds pressed in upon him, he transferred from land into a boat. And it was there that he sat down and began to teach all of these parables. And so, beloved, what we're seeing is a full day of ministry for Jesus and his disciples. And as evening came, he told them, let us cross over to the other side. And this is what, again, I think it's important for us to see. Jesus didn't return to the shore. He didn't take time to go and buy food. While he was in the boat, he spoke to his disciples and said, it's getting late. It's time for us to leave. It's time for us to maybe get some rest. And of course, the disciples heard Jesus very clearly. And after a long day of ministry, they set off and sailed on the Sea of Galilee. And as they left the multitude, as they left this crowd, it was Jesus and the disciples in one boat. But then the passage also tells us that other small boats began to follow him. Now, again, I want us to kind of think about this picture, this scene that's taking place, because one of the things that blesses me is that even though Jesus may have needed some rest or the disciples to get away after a long day, notice the heart of some of those that were in this crowd, and that they didn't want the day to end. They didn't want to leave Jesus. They wanted to remain with him. They wanted to tag along. They wanted to just be with him. Now, I don't know if this would ever happen. This is just an example. Because you know how short I am with my studies. But can you just imagine that, you know, I get up in here and I just start preaching. And I know we have 3 services, but yet, can you imagine if the first service said, I don't want to go. I want to just sit and I want to hear it again. And then you all come and you're all like, hey, you're sitting in my seat. and then you get all frustrated. But then you just kind of just find a place to sit, or you stand up against the back wall. And then after second service is done, then third service comes and you say, I'm not leaving. And then we have three services all in one place, and then nobody wants to leave. That'd be awesome. That'd be totally awesome. I would be so blessed. Like, man, we'll just order pizza. Forget Cracker Barrel. Come on now. Hungry Howie's delivers. But these people that heard Jesus, even though he got in a boat, they may have been waving, and everybody else turning around and going home. No, I want to be with the Lord. I want to be with Jesus. God, help us to have that attitude. Because I hope and pray you realize that just because the church service is over doesn't mean the message is over. Because what we heard and what we learned is what Jesus wants us to live out for this next week that's coming up. And so, beloved, this is a beautiful sight. Other small boats following, wanting to tag along. And in verse 37, it tells us that as they were on the Sea of Galilee, that a great windstorm arose. Out of nowhere, this violent storm came crashing upon them. And I want you to catch the magnitude of this, because it says very clearly that the wind was so strong that waves beat against the boat. So much so, it was so violent that the water began to come inside of the boat. And so we all know that that is not a good sight when water is in the boat. That's never meant to happen. So you understand and know the dangers of this storm. And what else we need to understand and know is that the disciples, once again, man, they were afraid. You have experienced fishermen who have fished on this lake before, have noticed these storms, have probably experienced these storms, but this particular one, they were so afraid that their life was going to come to an end. You know that's some bad stuff. You know, I recall the time when I first bought a plane ticket and flew on an airplane. I was so scared. Like, I'm not a roller coaster guy. I'm not a thrill seeker. Like, I get mad at my wife when she wants to take pictures over off a cliff. That's me. Ground is my happy place. And I was scared. And I got into that airplane, and as soon as I got down, I strapped on the seatbelt right away, and I was listening, man. I was tuned in on the stewardess, because she was giving instructions. If the plane goes down, you need to know what to do. And I was getting upset because nobody was paying attention. And I was like, this is my life here, right? And then, of course, after that flight and had a few others, now I don't even listen to them. But I'll tell you this, I'll freak out if I see them freak out, because they're on that plane all the time. And they know what turbulence feels like. But if I ever see this look on their face, I think I need to get up and start preaching. But these were experienced fishermen. They were doing what they could to keep the boat from sinking, putting all of their knowledge, putting all the things that they've learned into action. They were doing their part in the midst of this storm. But where was Jesus? In verse 38, it tells us that he was in the stern, toward the back of the boat. And what was he doing? Sleeping. You know, Jesus is human here in this portion of Scripture, took upon flesh, but he also experienced weariness. I can relate to an all day full day of ministry. When I leave here after three services, I eat and I go to bed. So I understand this. And yet, again, let's put ourselves in the picture of this scene. On top of this very boat, you got 11, 12 men, frantically yelling at one another. I'm pretty sure the experienced fishermen were yelling out those instructions. I'm pretty sure some of them were probably, I want to say this nicely, they were probably throwing up. I don't know if you handle the sea very well. I can imagine some of them maybe reaching for buckets and trying to get the water out of the boat, but just total chaos. Total chaos. And so they're frantically going through all of this chaos, and Jesus is below, sleeping peacefully. And it's there that the apostles finally turned to Jesus. They went down to the stern and they woke him up. And I want you to notice this again. This is a beautiful picture. It wasn't the storm, the noise from the wind, the waves crashing against the boat that woke Jesus up. It wasn't them yelling at each other that woke him up. But it was the voice of a crying disciple that said, "Teacher." That's what woke him up. And can I just encourage you with this, that as the body of Christ, as those who made a confession of faith, that whenever you call on the name of Jesus, he will hear you. I hope you take great comfort in that. And so as they wake him up, the very words they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And here's a modern translation for you. "Jesus, we're going to die. We are going to die." And I want you to notice this. This word "we," what were they saying? "We're including you in this, Jesus. We are going to die. How can you sleep at a time like this? The boat is about to sink. We don't know how much more time we're going to last. So it's definitely not a time to be sleeping." And of course, Jesus wakes up. The other portion that I want you to notice is that when he woke up, he didn't yell. He didn't get upset with them. He didn't say, "Why are you bothering me? Don't you realize I've been ministering all day?" He wasn't upset with them. But what did Jesus do? He got up. He left the stern. Went up to the top of the boat, and it says here that he rebuked the wind and the sea. The word "rebuke" here means to admonish and to warn forcefully. In other words, Jesus commanded, he ordered the wind and the sea to what? Be peace, be still. It is here that, as I studied, that many commentators had difference of opinions about this storm. Some believe that this was a spiritual attack, that evil forces were the ones that raised this storm up because of Jesus' phrase, "Peace, be still." And they liken that to the fact that this is the same phrasing, same words that he would use whenever he cast out somebody who had an evil spirit. Others believe it was just a natural storm. The Sea of Galilee was prone to having windstorms come upon people all of a sudden. So whether this was a demonic attack or just a natural disaster, a natural storm, listen carefully, beloved. It was Jesus with his own words, with just the words of his mouth, that he was able to command the wind and the sea to stop acting up. And with that one voice, how powerful it is, they obeyed. That's a pretty, can you imagine being there at that moment? If you were one of the disciples, you were probably standing there soaking wet, jaw dropped to the ground. You just witnessed a great windstorm turn into a great calm, as if nothing ever happened. And it was there what we would think should have brought them peace. Because again, they feared for their life. They were afraid, and now there's a great calm. And you would think, after Jesus commanding them to stop, and it stopped, that there would be peace. But I want you to notice, Jesus now turns to them, and he asks them a couple of questions. And in verse 40, it says here, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And I want to walk through these two questions with us. The first question I want to share with you, the disciples had a real good reason to fear. They were in a crazy storm. It was no joke. They were not laying out on the deck with suntan lotion. They feared for their life when this storm came upon them. And of course, again, they kicked into what they knew what to do. As fishermen, they knew some of the tricks of the trade, and yet everything they tried didn't work. Every effort was in vain. Does that sound a little familiar to us? Whenever we find ourselves in a jam, how many times we try to fix it on our own, and a lot of times we end up making it worse. But after all their efforts, they literally believed they were going to die. The other thing that probably would have caused some great fear is because Jesus wasn't beside them. Come on now, if we're real, beloved, how many of us, when we're going through some storms, have ever asked the Lord, where are you? Lord, why? Why is this happening? Lord, are you still with me? They were frantic. They were doing what they could, and Jesus was nowhere in sight. So their fear caused them to doubt of what Jesus could do. Their fear crippled them. And again, it caused them to believe that Jesus didn't care. And as we walk with the Lord, we have an enemy who's really good at whispering that in our ear. And so I can understand the fear in the first question, but in the second question, Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, how is it that you have no faith? What did Jesus mean by this? If we can look back as we begin this study, as we begin the Gospel of Mark, Jesus had given them all kinds of reasons to believe in who he is. He gave them proof that he had power, that he performed miracles on people who had all kinds of illnesses. And this is much more than just a fever. We've witnessed he healed a man who was a leper, unheard of, an incurable disease. He helped a man who had been paralyzed, the one that they lowered down from the roof of the house. And he healed them immediately, and he walked out of that home in full view of everybody, and everybody praised God. They witnessed him doing all of these different miracles, giving sight to the blind, helping a man who had a withered hand. All of a sudden, his hand is whole in front of everybody. So they witnessed Jesus do some miracle. And of course, setting people free from evil spirits, they witnessed it all. They also heard Jesus teach several times about the kingdom of God, what it takes to get right with God, what it takes to receive this amazing gospel of grace and know that we have an eternal gift waiting for us in heaven. This is an amazing thing that the Lord has been doing, teaching and sharing. All day long, he taught about the kingdom of God and how it grows. And if you remember with me, as we studied those parables, the word of God is always intended to build up faith. So Jesus gave them every reason that they could believe in him. And this is what I want us to understand for us today, because we too will be challenged with this. As we hear the word of God, beloved, I hope and pray you realize this is not just a to-do list or a check off the box on Sunday. I hope and pray you realize, your attendance doesn't enter you into the kingdom of God. Jesus, I've been to Calvary every single Sunday. Even when Pastor Jerry wasn't there. Just saying. Right? It's not based upon our attendance. As we grow in our faith As we grow in our relationship with the Lord, beloved, there are going to be tests in our life. And the truth of the matter is this, we all need to understand that the moment we begin to follow Jesus, when we commit our lives to him, he has never promised that our life is going to be beautiful and perfect. He never promised us that we would never sin. I wish that would happen, but it just doesn't. He never said, you're never going to experience problems anymore. Never said that. But what he did promise is no matter what difficulties come, listen carefully, beloved, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Hallelujah. How do we see this in the passage? Well, notice this. At the beginning, as they started off on the Sea of Galilee, it was Jesus in the boat with the disciples. His presence was with them. When the storm hit, Jesus was still with them. Though their circumstances causes them to think differently, he was still with them. He was at the back of the boat, but his presence was still there. And it's also important, beloved, to understand this, that when those storms hit, many of us pray, Lord, intervene. Lord, take this away. When sometimes our prayer should be, Lord, what is it that you want to teach me? What is it that you want to show me through this difficulty that I need to learn? And believe me, I've been through it. I've been praying sometimes the wrong way. Lord, get me out of here. Lord, you need to show up like 3 weeks ago. I've been there. But sometimes the best thing that we can do is, again, start praying the right way. Because when we do pray, Philippians tells us very clearly, listen, beloved, it tells us very clearly that it's through prayer that our hearts are guarded, that we'll be able to have peace no matter what comes our way, a peace that surpasses all understanding. When all chaos comes, you're anchored down because you have Jesus. And so I get, though the storm hit, he was still present. Though they couldn't see him, he was still there. And when they finally turned to him, when they were done trying to fix their problem on their own, it is here that Jesus revealed his true power and his authority. I even have the authority over nature. The wind and the sea will obey my voice. And when he did that, when this miracle took forth, that doubt of Jesus, don't you care, should have come to an end, and them realizing that Jesus does care. And again, what should have been a calm scenario, a scenario of, man, thank God we're over that storm. But I want you to notice what happened in verse 41. The moment that Jesus calmed the sea, they were more afraid. What were they afraid of? Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey? And of course, these were all things that Jesus was doing to help build their faith into knowing that he truly is their Messiah. These are all teaching moments. And so, though they may have questioned and asked each other these things, and though they were afraid, though they may not have passed this test with flying colors, but I'm pretty sure that all of us can say, been there, done that. I've also haven't always passed with flying colors and the testing that has come my way that Jesus has allowed. And so, what is our takeaway this morning? What is it that I pray that we would walk away with? And that is this. Please understand and know the truth of these storms that may come upon us. Because as we walk with Jesus, this is what he told us. When a person who puts their faith in Christ, Jesus told them up front in John chapter 16, verse 33, he told this to his disciples as well on this night, that you will in this world have tribulation. You're going to go through it. There's going to be some difficulties. There's going to be some trouble. There's going to be things in your life that are going to rock you. And he says, but be of good cheer. In other words, even though these things may come upon you, you can be encouraged by what? This truth. I have overcome the world. So when these difficulties come and when we're having these trials of testing, these times of testing in our life, we need to do exactly just like our passage. We need to remember that as we start this walk with Jesus, it's literally as if we're at that sea at the beginning of our passage. And as we make that confession of faith, as we commit our hearts to the Lord, we're now on a journey. Jesus has given us our destination. We are going to the other side. And as we go through our life with the Lord, as we walk with him, as we give him our life, again, there are going to be storms that come upon you. And remember that not every storm is based upon disobedience. People sometimes say, oh, these things that are happening in your life, they're bad because you must be in some kind of sin. I don't need any more friends like Job's friends. Okay, I don't need that. But the truth of the matter is, beloved, you will go through them. What is it that we need to fall back on when they happen? Truth is, fall back on what you know. Number one, a time of testing. There's two outcomes, only two. Either that trial, the enemy will want to pull you away from God and cause you to doubt that God loves you. And the other path is knowing that God ordained it for the sole purpose of building your faith. You got to come back to that conclusion. And not every trial, not every storm you face is because of disobedience. But there are a lot of things that we do that we get ourselves into trouble. And sometimes some of us are good at getting in trouble. God will bring those storms just like he did in Jonah. God asked him to go to Nineveh, and Jonah thought as God's prophet, he could pick and choose what he wanted to do. Who had a right to hear the gospel? And as he tried to go in the complete opposite direction of Nineveh, the Bible tells us that it was God who brought the storm upon him. So our disobedience can bring some storms in our life. But for the disciples here, there was no disobedience. They were right where Jesus told them to be. They were in the boat with him. So not every storm, beloved, is because you're walking in disobedience, but remember the truth, testing. God uses them to build your faith. The other thing that I want us to understand and know is that, again, these storms, they come in many fashions, and many of them are violent. Some of us in this room are going through some major storms. Some of us in this room right now are maybe battling with some long-term health issues. There's some in here that maybe parents have a wayward son or daughter that they've been praying for years. Maybe there's some young adults in here who have given their hearts away and have been just taken advantage of and they're hurt. Maybe you've lost a job that you thought would never happen. Maybe you lost a loved one unexpectedly. Those storms will cripple you. Those storms will hurt. And it's in those storms that you need to fall back on what you know. Because Jesus is still with you. Did you hear that? You need to walk away with that. You need to know he's with you. He's in your boat. And no matter how hard it's getting beat up, maybe it's just time for you to stop doing it on your own. Call out to him and let him help you. Because I have made the mistake several times of trying to do it on my own and made matters worse. And in the midst of those storms, beloved, anchor down on this. His promises still stand today. And that promise of never leaving us nor forsaking us is for all of us. And the other reason why we can trust in Jesus and fall back on what we know is, again, just like the movie Miracle, no matter how many times I see it, I get excited. As many times as I go through the scriptures, I know who gets the W. And I need to realize we're just passing through. And we will pass through, because in this passage, they reached the other side. Jesus said it very clearly, let us cross over to the other side. He didn't say, hey, let's go for a sail and maybe we'll make it. No, he said it very clearly. This is where we started. This is where we're going, and it's right there. God's word has given us where we start. He's given us the beauty of knowing the victory that Jesus has given us through the finished work of the cross. And he has told us our destination. So hang on to the fact that we have a promised land waiting for us. We have our final reward yet to come, and that is to be with the Lord for all of eternity. And my encouragement to us today, once again, Jesus has overcome the world. Be encouraged. He's with you. Don't doubt, but hold on to what you know. And as those storms come, you'll be able to stand and stand firm. And in the midst of your standing, you too will also become a testimony. And I pray that that would minister to your heart today, because again, I know that there are many in here that are going through it. And God loves you. He has not abandoned you. He is with you. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Amen. Worship team, come forward. Father, I want to thank you so much for your word today, and I pray that, God, you would continue to help us all. And I know, Lord, that whenever we walk with you, we will be tested. We will be in situations such as this where storms come crashing upon us. And I pray that your word today would continue to encourage us and help us today to trust in you. Again, you've given us every reason for us today that we can. You've given us your living word. You've given us your Holy Spirit that dwells within us. You set us up for victory. We know the end story. So God, would you please take our hearts today, and would you remove any fears? Would you remove any doubts? Would you remove the bitterness and the frustrations that we may have? And as we give you our hearts, Lord, I pray that we would grow through these times of testing. And when it gets too hard to bear, I pray that we would not wait and wait and wait, but we would realize the faster we turn to you, the quicker we can learn the things that you want us to learn. The quicker, Lord, we'll experience the joy in the midst of chaos. because as we turn to you, you're our strength. And as we pray, you protect our hearts from wandering. And as we trust you, you calm the storms. But all of this is in your perfect timing. But again, it's times like this that we just need to remember you're still present. You're still with us, and you will see us through. So God, for any one of my brothers and sisters who need a touch from you this morning, please pour out your Spirit upon them. Would you allow them to know your presence is with them? That you would walk with them, Lord, that you would be with them, that you would guide them and direct them. Would you bring healing upon them? Would you help them to, again, learn the things that you desire for them to learn and to grow in their faith? And so, Lord, we are thankful for this truth that we have today. Thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy. We pray that you would bless your people. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just want to encourage anybody here, maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. And I want to encourage you that God loves you today. And I pray that if there is anything that was said today in this message, that you would be drawn closer to Jesus, that he would have poured out his Spirit to draw you to the place of receiving his love, his grace, and his mercy. That you would realize that Jesus is not looking for perfect people. Jesus is looking for people who are willing to follow him, to believe in him. And when we take those first steps, he's the one that comes in and cleans us up. What separates us from receiving this amazing gift of everlasting life is sin. And the Bible tells us out of love that God sent Jesus to pay for that penalty of sin. That through his death on a cross, his burial, his resurrection, that all of it would reveal that sin, Satan, death, and hell have no dominion over him. He has authority over all. And because he rose from the grave, we can also believe that his death paid for the sins of the world. And when we believe that with all of our heart and we confess that, the Bible says that we will be saved from that penalty of ever being separated from God for all eternity. And so if this is you this morning, I want to encourage you right where you're at, just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, this is me. I want to receive Jesus today. I want to be forgiven of my sins and I want to receive this gift of everlasting life. And if this is you right where you're at, just slip up your hand that I would know your desire today is to get right with God. Praise the Lord. I see your hand here up in the front. Anyone else? Hey, you put your hand down. With the room this size, I also want to ask. Maybe there's some of you right now that are just going through a storm. And you're tired of trying to fix it on your own. I want to encourage you, if this is you, would you be willing to be brave enough to slip up your hand, because I would love to pray for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You guys can put your hands down. Father, I want to thank you for the hands that were raised to receive you today and the hands that were raised that just need a touch from you. And so what I'd like to do is just pray first for those who want to receive Christ. And if this is you, I want to encourage you, repeat this prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross. And I've learned today that through his death and his resurrection, he paid for the sins of the world. I've heard today that through his death and his resurrection, that my sins can be forgiven and I can be at peace with God. So God, I come before you and I confess that I've sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and for saving me. For I believe by faith in the finished work of the cross. God, would you please come into my life and teach me your ways. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, now I want to pray for those who raised their hands. God, you know each and every one. And you know their circumstance. And I pray, God, that if there has been any doubt of your presence, would you reassure them that you're with them? Would you pour out your spirit upon them and give them that peace that surpasses all understanding? Would you pour out your spirit upon them that they would not continue to turn and look elsewhere, but to turn and look upward, to take their eyes off of their circumstances and put them back where they belong, and that's on you. God, would you help them today by standing with them and bringing a calm to their storm. We ask God for your will to be done in their lives. Help them, Lord, with each second of their day. So Lord, it is to you that we look to. Strengthen your family today. Calm the storms, Lord. Bring a peace. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.